Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all the listeners out there to Yowie Radio. We bring you the 2018 Olympic Winter Games from Pyeongchang, Korea. Welcome back. Coming up next, we have the men's 500 meters. Men's 500 meters being contested at Gangneung Olympic Oval. We will see. Yes. We will see 18 pairs. That's 36 skaters compete over the distance of 500 meters. And unusually for this Olympics, it will only happen once. In past games, we've had two runs of the 500 meters. Everyone gets to skate it once in the inside lane and once in the outside lane. This is to even out any advantages or disadvantages you have of skating the 500 in the inside or the outside lane. But at this Olympics, it's going back to only being run once. When you start in the outside lane, on the plus, you have the draft behind the other skater in your pair in the crossover straight, and the last inner corner, which is good for some people because it's easier to generate a lot of pressure in that last inner corner. Of course, the flip side of that is if you have a lot of speed going into that second inner corner, it can be quite difficult to hold it down to keep stepping. Whereas if you start on the inside lane, you have the advantage of accelerating in the first inner corner, because you do the straight, you go into the first corner, and you're in the inside corner. It is a little bit easier to accelerate when the corner is sharper, but you don't get the draft in the crossover straight, and then you have to contend with the outer corner for your second corner. That suits some skaters, because they're big, heavy guys, or they go into that corner with a lot of speed. It's easier to control a wider corner at high speed than a tighter corner. So, yeah, there are advantages and disadvantages to both. Curiously, the last two world records in the 500 meters have been set by skaters who started in the inner lane. That was Pavel Kolesnikov of Russia and Jeremy Wotherspoon of Canada. Both of those started in the inner lane, finished in the outer lane. It was 34.03 by the Canadian and 33.98 by the Russian. But before that, the world record was held by Lee Kang-suk of Korea. And in that world record, he started in the outer lane. He was paired with Tucker Fredericks from the United States. And he came out of the first outer corner, got a really great draft behind Tucker, and then just had a great inner corner, broke the world record. So, yeah, it remains to be seen how well this will go. It certainly puts a lot more pressure on the skaters. They have to perform very well once, rather than to perform very well consistently over both 500 meter races. Curious to note, at the last Olympic Games, it was a Dutch medal sweep. We had Michel Mulder in first with the gold medal. Jan Smeekens, also from the Netherlands, he was in second. And Michel Mulder's identical twin brother, Ronald Mulder, in third place. The interesting thing about this is, in both 500 meter runs, the fastest skater was not Michel. I believe in the first run of the 500 meters, it was Ronald who set the fastest time, and in the second run, it was Jan Smeekens who set the fastest time. Mish, however, was most consistently fast over both runs. I mean, we're talking very, very small margins here. Hundredths of a second separated first from third. So it's interesting to think that if these had been the conditions at the last Olympic Games is we would have actually had a different Olympic champion. Also strange to think about is Michel will not be here to defend his title. He did not qualify for the 500 meters. Gives you an indication of just how competitive it is just to get on the Dutch team. He did not qualify. And in another shocking incident, Didi Netab also didn't qualify. He false started twice, which meant that the guy who he was paired with had to pull out three standing starts, injure his groin, but still actually managed to qualify for the Dutch team. He will be skating here. That is Kai Verbeij, a half Japanese, half Dutch skater representing the Netherlands. Jan Smeekens, of course, silver medalist from Sochi, he is also here. And Ronald Mulder, also here. I mean, I'd like to say, oh yeah, this person is the favorite, or that person is the favorite, but really there are probably 10, maybe even more guys who realistically could win this race. The 500 meters is extremely closely contested. Expect the margin between 1st and 20th to be less than a second. That is just a little bit insane. But in the first pair, we have Daniel Gregg from Australia. He has been struggling to come back from injury as well. When you compete at the highest level for a very long time, every now and then you'll get injured. Dan had surgery, and the recovery was not totally straightforward. He has really struggled with that, but he's come good. He broke his own Australian records on the way to qualifying, and it's interesting to note that at the time he broke those original Australian records, he went on to come third at World Sprint Championships. So maybe this is an early indication that he is on form, but we'll just have to wait and see. We won't have to wait very long. He's in the first pair, paired with Tsubasa Hasegawa from Japan. The Japanese, of course, very strong showing. They've qualified, I think, their full quota of four places. Strong speed skating tradition in Japan, and this is reflected in the results. They have won many Olympic medals in these sprints. Of course, first gold medal in the 500 coming from Hiroshi Shimizu, who was also the first skater to skate 500 meters in under 35 seconds. Of course, only 2 years ago, we finally had a skater skate under 34 seconds. Pavel Kolesnikov, current world record holder, he will not be skating here today because he is from Russia, and Russia have been excluded from these Olympic Games, with the exception of very few athletes. So, lining up now in the men's 500 meters, on the inner lane, Tsubasa Hasegawa, and in the outer lane, Daniel Gregg from Australia. I will once again be saying bang to help people synchronize their video feed with their audio feed. And they step up to the line. Ready. Bang. And they're off, and the start is clean. Both of these skaters have very high cadence. Dan's skating quite well here, quite low. 9.67, 9.7 seconds. These are competitive starting times, but look out for 9.5s for those who might challenge for the win. Dan, getting a good draft behind Hasegawa, comes into that inner corner. Will he be able to catch up the stagger? Oh, almost. He's reeling him in. He doesn't quite have it. And Hasegawa, 35.08. Dan, 35.2. Doesn't look too happy about it. But, yep, there you go. Just one 500 meters. You don't get a second shot. Of course, he should be at least a little bit satisfied that he finished it and got really quite a decent time. At the last Olympic Games, he caught the ice with the toe of his blade and fell in the first 20 meters of the race. A very disappointing start to his Olympics there. But this is not bad. He is not satisfied with it, clearly, but there you go. In the second pair, Kimani Griffin from the United States against Artyom Krikunov from Kazakhstan. The Kazakh skaters based in Astana, the capital, which is the second largest city in Kazakhstan, the largest city being Almaty, which also has an ice rink of its own, a very beautiful rink up in the mountains in Mideo, 1,690 meters above sea level. But it's outdoors, meaning that conditions aren't always consistent. Kimani now coming up to the line. So he's dug his foot in there, which means he's probably going to do a down start. The reason they dig the heel of their blade in is to cut a very small hole in the ice. And when he goes down, that is where he places his thumb. Bang! And they start. It's a clean start again, the Kazakh being a little bit in front of the American skater there, a 9.7, not quite as fast a start, but perhaps he has a very fast lap in him. Expect the winner of this race to open in about 9.5, possibly even lower, and the lap time to be under 25 seconds. Those who can add quickly in their heads will know that that comes to about a 34.5 second 500 meters. That is about the time it will take to win. And these, third and fourth, 35.3, 35.3. Look at the skaters there in slow motion. They're putting everything into this. In the 500 meters, you do not hold back. It is not a long enough distance to be able to do that. You stay very, very low because of aerodynamics, and also because the lower you get, the longer your push can be. And you just skate as fast as you can. In the next pair, Matthias Voste from Belgium, up against Joel Dufter from Germany. Voste, originally not qualified in the Olympics. He was first on the reserve list, but when the exclusion of the Russians became official, Voste got to go. On the outer lane, Joel Dufter, I remember him when he was a junior. Big guy, strong skater, now skating at the Olympics. And they're at the start line now. Both starting in a very conventional way. Bang! And it's a clean start. Voste doing quite well, getting very low. He's the Belgian record holder in the sprint distances now. Until recently, all the Belgian records were held by Wim de Dane and Peter Geisel, who were both short track skaters. They were short track skaters based in Calgary, and when you're based in Calgary, you have one of the fastest 400 meter ovals in the world, and their coach thought, ah, why not? Let's have a little crack at the long track records. Ooh, some decent laps being put down there, 25.5, 25.4, 5th and 6th. So Dan, still in second. I doubt that's going to stay that way, because as we know, the starting order determined by rankings. They're first listed by rankings, and then in small groups, the draw is randomized. But what tends to happen is the fastest skaters are towards the end, and the slower skaters are towards the start. Dan doing well to stay in second up to this point. Coming up next, Mirko Giacomo Nensi from Italy and Xi Zhaixuan, I probably pronounced that wrong, from China. Men's 500 meters. We have an interesting question from the audience. I see a lot of the ladies have long hair that they gather behind the head, like a bike time trial helmet. Does that have a positive aerodynamic effect? If so, have any of the boys been told to grow their hair a bit? That is an interesting question. In speed skating, we have these tight suits for aerodynamic purposes. We have these hoods. Oh, Nenzi also getting ready for a down start here. Down he goes. And bang. And it's a false start. So there's actually a specific rule in the rulebook that tells us that our suits must conform to the shape of our bodies. It's because I think a while ago someone started making suits with little bits of bulk added, I suppose you could call it. But the effect of that was that when you were in skating position, it made the suit teardrop shaped. And of course, this gave them a significant aerodynamic advantage, and the ISU was like, oh, what do we do about this? Well, we'll just say the suits have to conform to the shape of the body. Having a lot of hair and putting it in a bun at the back of your head, for example, making the part of your head that's contained in your hood look like a teardrop, that does have a positive aerodynamic effect. I'm not sure how big it is, but to the best of my knowledge, none of the guys have been told to grow their hair. Bob de Jong used to have long hair, which he would set in a bun and put at the back for aerodynamic purposes, but it's not a common thing to do. There are probably other things that you can do which have a greater effect, but of course, in speed skating, where the margins can be like literally thousandths of a second, these small things will make a difference. Maybe it's something that we'll see in the future. Oh, Nancy, just catching Xi on the line. 35-5-1. Dan's still in the lead. Color me surprised. So, Nancy having the down start, but the Chinese skater actually getting the better of him for the first half of the race, only to be reeled in by the Italian at the end with a superb finishing straight and high top speed. The down start is thought to be advantageous because it places the skater in a low position already before starting. Whereas if you're just standing up and starting, you have to start running on your skates and push yourself into that low position. Of course, on the flip side, if you start in a down start, your first movement is upwards, and that might mean that you end up in a higher position skating. You've got to do the down start properly to get the full advantage out of it. For a while after the Vancouver Olympics, the Canadian sprinters were compelled to do down starts because, you know, such was their strong belief that the down start was in fact a lot faster. But the jury's still out. Both world records were set from people who didn't do down starts. I believe the last person to win a 500 who did a down start was Joey Cheek in 2006 in the 500 meters. So we have, Golovatsyuk from Belarus and Yang from China. Golovatsyuk, also a very talented junior who has come up the ranks. He is skating quite well here, coming around that outer corner, able to generate pressure and acceleration. Just a little bit in front of the Chinese skater now, he comes across the line. Oh! In third! With a 25.3 lap, that's a very good lap. But still behind first pair skaters, Tsubasa Hasegawa and Daniel Gregg, who have stubbornly clung on to the top of the rankings here. A 35.08 is actually a very good time. In past Olympics, I would have said that is a decent medal chance, but at these games, with the quality of the field and how close everyone is, I'm quite sure that the winning times will be between 34.5 and 34.7. But you never know, maybe the ice conditions are not that fast. It's hard to know from here. I've got a nice shot of the inside of the Japanese and the Australian skater from the first pair, probably sitting in disbelief that they're still in the lead. Okay. Coming up now, we have Pedro Calcil and Stanislav Palkin from Colombia and Kazakhstan. Calcil, a multiple world champion in the sport of inline skating, a specialist in these shorter distances. He can put down a very, very fast lap when he's on inline skates. He's recently converted to ice in one of these transition programs in Salt Lake City under the tutelage of Ryan Shimabukuro. And they're ready. Bang! Oh, Calcil gets a little bit of a misstep early on. That can really cost you. It throws your rhythm a little bit. It's hard to get that rhythm back, but these are not bad openers, 9.93 and 9.96. We'll see. We'll just have to see how good their laps are. Calcil skating very well for someone who's only really been ice skating for 2 years, I think. Of course, that... it's a slightly deceiving thing to say. It's like, oh, they've only been ice skating for 2 years. Before that, he was an inline skater. He was a very good inline skater. And he has come into second place just in front of Daniel Gregg. 35.19. So that moves Gregg down to third behind Calcil. These two have had many a run-in at inline world championships. In fact, I think Calcil was... junior world champion a number of times when Daniel was second, and vice versa. Daniel was also a junior world champion in inline skating in the sprint distances. So, yeah, quite a bit of history behind these two, and interesting to see Calcil coming 0.03 of a second in front of Gregg. 35.19, that's a very good time, I do believe. Maybe that's a personal best for him? Not sure, I would have to look that up. Going on, I'm getting some messages. Someone wants me to send them the start list. It's not too hard to arrange. Okay, Jonathan Garcia and where's my start list gone? And Ching Yang Sung from Chinese Taipei. Ready? Oh, and there's a false start. I believe Garcia twitched. Maybe it was Yang. Yeah, it was Garcia. Yeah, if you watch the replay, his right leg just twitches a little bit, ever so slightly, and there's a false start. We haven't had anyone at this Olympics disqualified for false starting yet, which is a good thing. Garcia, another former inline skater, watch him in the corners. He has these incredibly effective corners. He just runs through them and gets an enormous amount of acceleration. Bang. And they're off. The Chinese Taipei skater, also an inline skater. Ooh, little bit of a misstep there. It comes up a little bit, 9.7, 9.9. And we'll see if Garcia gets a good draft. It looks like he's a long way behind in the back straight, but actually, you don't have to be that close to get a benefit of the draft from the skater in front. Of course, the closer you are, Ooh, Chinese Taipei skater very nearly going down there. A hand on the ice just to steady him. Won't be happy about that. Probably lost 2 or 3 tenths. Garcia into fifth, 35.3. So, yeah, the skater's struggling a little bit here. This is still got Hasegawa in first, Kalsil in second, Grigg in third. They're just going to have to sit there and watch as everyone else has a go at their times. Coming up next, a pair with a Polish skater, Artur Nogal, and Norwegian skater Henrik Fagerli-Røkke. I don't know how you meant to say that. In Danish, it would be Røkke. But this is Norwegian, which is similar but not quite the same as Danish. The Norwegians actually pronounce all the letters in the words. Not something that the Danes are known for. And we have Artur Nogal from Poland. Coming up to the line now. Normally we're used to seeing Norwegians in red suits. Polish skaters in red suits has been normal for a very long time. Now we have Norwegians in blue suits. A little bit strange. Ready. Bang. Oh, and that's a terrible start from Nogal. He missteps on pretty much his first step and goes down. He will not be setting a competitive time in this race. But that's very sporting of him. He gets up, finishes the distance. I mean, I suppose if someone is disqualified for whatever reason, Nogal will finish in front of him. But the Norwegian skater also now skating without a pair. 35.5 puts him in 10th place. Here comes Nogal. Skating around that inner lane, not very pleased with himself. Oh, and that is such a shame. And we have the ice repair guys coming out just to make sure that there aren't any large holes or grooves in the ice which could impede the progress of a skater and a subsequent pair. I'm told that the staff that maintain the ice here... Oh, here we have the replay. Oh, yeah. His first step went down okay, but when he brought his right foot through... the toe of his blade caught the ice and sent him sprawling. Yeah, the ice makers here, they bring them in from Canada and the United States because when you build an ice skating rink, it usually takes a year, often a bit longer, for the staff, for the ice makers, for the Zamboni drivers, for the climate control people to figure out exactly how to make the ice as fast as it can be. And the conditions, of course, vary enormously from one rink to another. A lot of things affect it: the altitude, the humidity, the air pressure, the quality of the water that the Zamboni drivers can access. These are all important factors in making the ice. So it does take a considerably long time to figure out how to make the ice really fast. So the practice has been for the last few Olympics to get the guys from Canada who maintain the Calgary Olympic Oval to come and maintain the ice, to make the Olympic ice, because they're very experienced. It gives you a very good chance of having fast ice, but it also means that the ice is very, very consistent from one games to the next. And one would think that the people doing this, the knowledge gets built up, and slowly we have a very wide range of knowledge to draw upon to make any ice rink fast. In the next pair now, Pekka Koskela from Finland, former world record holder in the 1,000 meters. He is a big guy. He should try track cycling. He's one of the most powerful skaters I've ever seen. And I've seen quite a few powerful skaters. Paired with him, Roman Krech from Kazakhstan. Yes, there's a running debate about whether Pekka Koskela propels himself forwards or just pushes the world back when he starts. And they're off. It's a slightly awkward start from Koskela, having a bit of trouble getting into that low skating position, but he's there now, and it's a decent start, a 9.8. Krech on a 9.9. We've seen him win World Cups before, usually with faster openers than that, but Koskela now going into the inner lane. He's a big guy. He may struggle to make the most out of the inner corner, but he steps all the way through it and even manages to stay in his lane. Got some powerful pushes happening there, and ooh, the same time as Kalsil, 35.19, slots him into second. We'll have to wait for the official timing equipment to correct his time. The times that you see are taken from the beam. There's a little laser beam that goes across the start-finish line, the finish line. Those are the initial times that we get, but the official times are taken with a finish line camera, which looks over the finish line from above, and it seems, yes, Koskela is in front, 35.192. Kalsil on 35.196, so 6 thousandths of a second behind for the Colombian. That, of course, pushes my buddy Daniel Gregg into fourth and outside of the medals, unfortunately. And we have the fastest pairs yet to come. Jan Smeekens paired with Mitchell Whitmore from the United States. Both of these skaters have very effective starts. Pay a lot of attention to how they get into their skating positions and how they manage to transfer their weight sideways very, very early on. What you usually do at a start is your first 2, 3, maybe even 5 steps are just running on your skates. You're running in the way that you run normally. And then there's a transition period where you go from running to skating. Both of these skaters... Oh, false start. Both of these skaters transition into skating very, very quickly and are able to accelerate very effectively very quickly. For most people, transitioning to skating too soon is like trying to accelerate on your bike and you're in the wrong gear. But these guys are effective at it. And now we have a second start. Ready. Bang. And it's a clean start. It looked like Smeekens had a small slip, but it doesn't seem to be affecting him. Getting a very good sideways motion there. That'll be a fast start for him. 9.7. He won't be too pleased. He probably wanted to go under 9.7. But Smeekens has a good lap, and he gets to finish on the inner lane. And here he comes. He's staying very low. That's good. He's pumping that arm. The left arm still staying relatively controlled. Has good speed coming down this straight. Will he be able to? And yes, he does. With a low 25-second lap at 25.19. This is our first time to go under 35 seconds. So Hasegawa no longer in the lead. Jan Smeekens, world champion from last year at this very venue, goes into the lead with a 34.93. Now that time is in the lead, but my spidey senses tell me that that will not be enough. In previous Olympics, the skater who has won is the skater who did 2 runs of the 500 meters in under 35 seconds, but in Sochi, all 3 of the podium getters were well under 35 seconds and managed to do it very consistently, of course. So, remains to be seen. Still got a lot of very good skaters to come. We're only up to pair 11. So we have, in the inner lane, Piotr Michalski from Poland, and in the outer lane, Mo Tai Bum from Korea, Olympic champion in the 500 meters from Vancouver. He won that gold medal on the day of his 21st birthday. He's won this event at World Championships several times recently, has not quite been as strong. Let's see what he can do in front of the home crowd. Ready. Bang. And the start is clean, and it's very good. Michalski, towards the left of his lane, that could present problems in the corner entry. Mo, 9.6, that's a good start for low ice. He's, in fact, got the fastest start so far. Getting a good draft behind the pole. Oh, he's right up on him. He almost kicked him there. Or so it seemed from this TV angle. He comes around a little bit into the outer lane, coming out of that corner, throwing his weight around side to side, and oh, the lap not quite helping him out there. A good start, but a 25.5 lap will not be enough. He slips into fourth place. I do believe he... Oh no, there are two more Koreans, so the home crowd still have a few people to cheer for. Coming up in the next pair on the inner lane, Ting Yu Gao, a junior skater qualifying for his first Olympics. Ting Yu is the junior world record holder in this distance, a very impressive 34.4, I believe, set in Urumqi, a rink in the northern Tian Shan Mountains in the west of China. Very, very remote location, very, very high, and very, very fast. Paired with him is Joji Kato, bronze medalist in Vancouver, heavy favorite to win in Torino, still skating, still one of the best skaters in Japan. No small feat, considering the impressive pedigree of Japanese skaters. No longer the Japanese record holder, but he has an impressive PB of 34.26 seconds, I believe. Or 2.3, something like that. Let's see how they go. Ready? Oh, Joji does a down start. Bang! Yeah, that was a false start. Joji twitched just a little bit before the gun went off. So they have to come back and reset. What happens now is that if any of the skaters false start again, they'll be disqualified. Even though it was Joji who false started that time, if Ting Yu false starts in the next start, he will be disqualified. They've done this to prevent false starts. There's a very interesting Facebook group called Speed Skating the Good Old Days, and in that group I frequently posted old videos of skating from like the 1960s and the 1970s, and they're quite amusing to watch for the skating styles, for what they wear, and of course the beautiful outdoor venues. Here comes the bang. Bang. And it's a clean start. But in the old days, false starts were not really punished. You just got to keep resetting and do them. There was a video quite recently showing a race that required 14 false starts. Ting Yu Gao, first start in under 9.5 seconds. Will he be able to follow it up with a good lap? Joji coming up the inside, it's going to be neck and neck. It's a close pair and they're racing each other and pushing each other along. Gao coming up to the line. Oh! Very nice laps from both Kato and Gao. 25-1, 25-3. And now we're in business. 34.6, 34.8. These are the kinds of times that will threaten for the medals. Joji has a little bit of a slip there, almost goes down, manages to rescue it. That's quite an impressive feat. But Ting Yu, composed, calm, and a very good skate there. So we've got a 34.6 and a 34.8. A 34.6 definitely in contention for a medal there. And the young junior skater and junior world record holder, he should be very pleased with himself for that. What was that? But that pushes Jan Smekens down into third, and almost certainly he will be out of the medals by the time this day is done. In the inner lane, in the next pair, Kim Jun-ho from Korea, and in the outer pair, Laurent Dubril from Canada. Dubril, a past junior world record holder. He also won the 500 meters at Junior World Championships in 2012 in Obihiro. That was the first one I coached. And he was skating against Pavel Kolesnikov, who was caught for doping at that very Junior World Championships. Let's see what he can pull out. Bang! And it's a clean start. Dubril gets a slight misstep and moves towards the left of his lane. 9.6, 9.7. These are not bad openers, but not sure these guys are going to threaten for the medals the way they're going. But Dubril accelerating well down the back straight. Will he be able to come up on the Korean on the inside? They are traveling very close, but there's the line in the replay. They're a little bit off the pace. Fourth and eighth. 25.3 and 25.4 laps. Just not quite good enough. What is that sound? Can anyone else hear that? Is that just me? Ah, and the Korean even caught his toe on the ice. Lucky not to go down there. Yeah, some big names struggling on this ice. What the? I have no idea what that sound is. I'm just going to ignore it. Hopefully it isn't the nuclear bombs going off. So, anyone who's just watched, just joined us, we've got only 1, 2, 3, all these stupid sponsor logos, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 pairs to go in the 500 meters, and unlike previous Olympics, they only get one shot at this. It's not like last time where you would get to skate in the outer lane and the inner lane and your times would be added up. Now you just get one shot. And whether you start on the outer lane or the inner lane is completely random. On the inner lane, we have Gilmore Jr. and... oh, come on. Kim Jun-ho. No. He was in the last pair. Ah. MK Cha from Korea. I think he's the last Korean skater, and the crowd will be right behind him. He's a little bit ahead of Junior, actually. He's a little bit ahead of the leaders. Will he be able to keep it up? It's that last straight that seems to just get everybody. He's traveling very well, though. Quite good speed, and yes! And there we have it. A sub-25-second lap, and a new Olympic record, 34.4. That is an amazing time. That really could win. The Lowland World Record, for those of you interested, is 34.31, I think, set by Jeremy Wotherspoon in Hamar, equaled by Michelle Mulder in Heerenveen. So to go 34.4 in these conditions is incredibly impressive. Olympic record, obviously a track record, and as a Korean, I think the audience would like the competition to stop right about now. But Min Kyu Cha taking the lead from Ting Yu Gao. So we have Korea, China, Japan. Min Kyu Cha, Ting Yu Gao, and Joji Kato. 1, 2, 3. But still, some of the fastest skaters yet to come. We have Artur Vas from Poland. A very capable skater. Has on a number of occasions won World Cups and for a long time was coming second to Pavel Kolesnikov during the whole Meldonium business. Meldonium eventually being banned by WADA, but there was a period when people were allowed to take it, and it was during that period that Kolesnikov broke the world record and also beat Artur many times. Nico Ile from Germany in the outer lane. And that's a false start. Ile twitching on the line there. Ile, also a very good medal chance. He's won, I think, one or two World Cups in recent years. And amazingly, he's done them both from starting in the outer lane. He's a big guy, very powerful guy, gets a tremendous amount of speed up. And that means that he struggles a little bit to make it around that second inner corner. When he does, things go very well. So, second start. Bang! And they're both big guys. Much lower cadence starts than normal, but these are still very good starts. Vas starting with a 9.67, only 0.04 slower than the Korean who is currently in the lead. Vas skating quite well. Ile struggling to catch up to him in the crossover, but will Ile be able to keep it together? He does. He comes out of that inner corner with considerable speed. Will he be able to carry it? And, oh, a 25.1 lap. A 34.8 time, but not even good enough for third. Ah, that's how competitive these Olympics are. That was a fantastic skate, actually, from both skaters, but well outside the podium, unfortunately. The next pair, Ronald Mulder, bronze medalist from Sochi, Håvard Lorentzen from Norway, leader in the rankings in the World Cup, and the guy who has actually won the most World Cups in recent times. So, yeah, I was quite surprised to learn when I arrived for the Heerenveen World Cup that Håvard had actually won the 500 meters. The Norwegians, strong skating tradition, but mostly in the longer distance events. So for a Norwegian sprinter to do this well was really great to see. Interesting to see how they will cope with the inner-outer lane. Interesting because they don't get to have another go where they swap lanes. Ronald, of course, the top qualifier from Dutch Olympic selection trials. That puts him as a heavy favorite to win this, of course, as a medalist from the previous Olympics, also very, very strong chances. Lorentzen has been skating well. He has been coached by Jeremy Wotherspoon. Jeremy, now the Canadian former world record holder, living and coaching in Norway. The Norwegian team has benefited enormously from this. Mulder digging out that little hole. He is preparing for a downstart. Lorentzen, a more conventional upright starting position. And the gun is in the air. Ready? Bang! And it is a clean start. Ronald getting a very good start. I'll be very interested to see what the split is here. And a 9.59. He is currently going faster than the Korean. Ronald pushing very hard. Has he peaked well for this games? Gerard Verveld coaching from the box. He is a former Olympic champion himself. But here comes Lawrenson, a great inside corner. Just screams past Mulder. And, oh, and he goes into the lead with a 24.6 second lap. That is very quick. 1/100th of a second, and the Norwegian Håvard Lorentzen goes into the lead with 34.41. That is almost certainly a medal. I don't want to jinx it. The Korean 34.42, just behind. He's disappointed a few Korean fans, but oh, what a skate that was. 34.41. Surely that's a winning time, but there are such good skaters still to come. No one can say that with any certainty. Any one of these guys coming up later could still win it. In the second last pair, Daichi Yamanaka from Japan is paired against Kai Verbeij from the Netherlands. Kai Verbeij, world sprint champion, half Japanese, half Dutch. He was, interestingly enough, not junior world champion in either the 500 or the all-round at his last junior world championships in Oberhiro. Was that his last? Maybe it was his second last. Because he had Laurent Dubreuil to contend with in the 500, and of course in the overall there was Sverre Lunde Pedersen. But here he is, Kai Verbeij, world sprint champion, extremely consistent performer at the distance, and on the inside, Daichi Yamanaka. Kai speaks fluent Japanese. Maybe they had a nice little chat just before the race started. And skaters to the line. Ready? Bang. And it's a clean start. Kai should be very happy about that. He's had no small number of false starts from other people in his pair. What kind of opening split is it? And they're both faster than Lawrenson's, but Lawrenson's opening split was not that fast. He really made his mark in the lap, skating a 24.6. Let's see what Kai Verbeij can do. Yamanaka also skating very well around the outside. He is, in fact, still in front. Kai Verbeij reeling him in, but it will be Yamanaka across the line in fourth. The lap once again letting him down, 25.2. So, Håvard Lorentzen guaranteed a medal now. Only two skaters left to go. Norway will pick up its first medal in the 500 for I don't know how long. Possibly ever. And there is a good chance that Cha Min-kyu from Korea will pick up a medal for Korea. But you never know. The next two skaters may both come first and third. They are at the Olympics and they are in with a chance. Mika Pautala from Finland. Mika, super nice guy, a very colorful character in the world of speed skating. He is a rapper, and by that I don't mean that he is a piece of packaging material. I mean that he sings, well, I guess, yeah, you could call it singing, in Finnish. He's a Finnish rapper, and I unfortunately don't know too much about Alex Beauvais-Lacroix, other than that he can skate very, very, very fast. He is right up there at the top of the rankings in the 500 meters, and he has as good a chance as anybody of toppling the current medalists. Here they come, they're being introduced now. Mika Pautala from Finland. Yes. He wrote a book recently. I haven't read it yet. I've been meaning to. Probably be inspirational and motivating, or maybe it will be full of funny stories. Speed skaters, lots of funny stories. So here they come, up to the line. Final pair. Ready. Bang. And it is a clean start. And it looks like a fast start. Pauvert Lacroix getting a very good jump. He comes up to the line and the split is 9.56 and 9.61. These are very fast splits for such big guys. Will they be able to follow it up with fast laps? The Finn, very, very, very slightly ahead, just on the pace. He's coming up the inside now. Will he be able to mow down Lawrenson? Lawrenson has a great turn of speed in the finishing straight. Will Poutler be able to catch it? And he doesn't. Norway takes the gold medal. Håvard Lawrenson. Korea in second. The Koreans should be pretty happy about that. I'm sure they wanted to win, but 1/100th of a second. And in third, junior world record holder from China, Ting Yu Gao, put together an amazing skate. He's 2/10 behind, only 3/300 in front of Pautala. Pautala unlucky to miss out on the medals. This is, oh no, he looks very sad in the middle. This is the second time he's come fourth, in Vancouver, of course, when we had two runs of 500 meters. Pautala did the fastest time in the first one, and then he slowed down in the second one and came fourth again. This is probably a little bit emotionally painful for him, being near the top for so long and never picking up an Olympic medal. But Lawrenson from Norway, Min Kyu Cha from Korea, Ting Yu Gao from China. Those are your medalists, curiously enough. First and second starting in the outer lane, third from the inner lane. So, read into that what you will. In fourth, Mika Pautala. Fifth, Daichi Yamanaka. Sixth, Joji Kato. Seventh, Ronald Mulder, bronze medalist from Sochi. Eighth, Nico Ihle from Germany. Ninth, Kai Ferbai. 10th, Jan Smekens, silver medalist from Sochi. 11th, Alex Beauvoir-Lacroix from Canada. 12th, Kim Jun-ho from Korea. First time over 35 seconds. 13th, Artur Vas from Poland. 14th, Tsubasa Hasegawa from Japan. 15th, Mitchell Whitmore. 16th, Mo Tai Bum from Korea, Olympic champion from 2010. 17th, Gilmore Jr. from Canada. 18th, Laurent Dubril, former junior world champion and junior world record holder, former junior world record holder. 19th, Pekka Koskela from Finland. 20th, Pedro Kausil from Colombia. 21st, Daniel Gregg from Australia. 22nd, Ignat Glovatsiuk, then Jonathan Garcia, Stanislav Palkin, Artyom Krikunov, Kimani Griffin, Tao Yang, Henrik Fagerli-Rukke, Joel Dufter, Mirko Giacomonensi, Jaishuan Qi, Matthias Foste, Piotr Michalski, Ching Yang Sung, Roman Kretsch, and 36th in the world, Artur Nogal. But there's our big story. Olympic champion from Norway, Håvard Lawrenson. And then we have Korea and China. Well, that was very exciting. Coming up tomorrow at 9 a.m. Berlin time, 9 p.m. New Zealand time, we bring you another interview. Tomorrow I will be interviewing Bill Begg, a coach of many world champions from many different countries. Bill is from New Zealand. He was responsible for the Colombian inline program. He has been traveling the world and coaching for probably as long as I've been alive. Currently now based in Timaru, building up from the club level. I will be interviewing him for this show. We'll talk about skating development, the inliners, of course, who've come to the ice, and we'll probably talk a little bit about Team New Zealand's chances in the team pursuit. On Wednesday from 8 p.m. Korean time, 12 noon Berlin time, we will have the team pursuit semi-finals and then finals. My predictions for those, well, in the men's team pursuit, I think it will be hard to go past Korea. They are the fastest qualifiers. They did not win world championships last year, but that's because they fell. Korea in first, I think the Netherlands in second, and I'm just going to say it now, New Zealand in third. It'll be great to see a country with no ice pick up a bronze medal at the Olympic Games. For the ladies, current world record holders Japan in first, heavy favorites. In second, the Netherlands. And in third, I'm going to go with Team Canada. So that is actually also the order. Oh no, not quite. Japan did qualify with the third fastest time earlier today. But the Dutch actually go in with the fastest time. The Japanese took a little bit too long to get their act together in terms of skating synchronously. So they had a slow early first few laps, but still managed second place time. So those are my predictions for the team pursuit. That is all from me. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening. If you like these broadcasts, tell your friends about them, spread the links around. I will be updating my daily blog article in a few hours, so I find some good pictures to go with them and write them up a little. Almost at the end of the Olympic program. It's a little sad. If anyone else would like to call in, please let me know. It's nice to have other people to commentate. The sound of my own voice does get a little bit annoying after a while. And yeah, thanks very much. And hope to see you all very soon. Catch my interview with Bill Begg tomorrow and the coverage of the team pursuit semis and finals Wednesday from 8 p.m. Korean time. And this is me signing off.